Well, Brother Daniel, there was the test. Maybe when this topic goes away, the microphone problem will go away. But it's not going to go away until we're finished with it. So, Brother Larry, would you mind coming up helping us with the offering, please, brother? Go ahead and pray for us, big brother.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you give us, Lord. Bless the teaching, bless the preaching this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, folks, we had actually had a pretty good day yesterday. Got an opportunity to present the gospel to several folks, and as Brother Daniel and I have been talking, I haven't seen it like this in a while, where people are receptive and they'll actually stop and let you talk with them and spend, I don't know, Brother Daniel, how long do you think you spent with that one guy yesterday?
I'd say probably 15 minutes each.
15 minutes, easy. And there was another gentleman in his driveway also that while he was talking to him, I was trying to talk with the other one, which didn't work out too well because there was about five or six young'uns running around on bicycles and stuff, so... And usually that's why you have a second person there. But I couldn't resist the opportunity to go because that guy was just standing over, leaned up against the car, observing what was going on, wasn't moving to go anywhere. So I tried to take advantage of that opportunity, but there was a huge distraction with the children, wasn't there? And by the way, that's one of the big reasons you have a second person there. They're not generally supposed to be... also having input in on the discussion. Now, sometimes it has to be done that way. And a primary example of that was the very last gentleman that we dealt with yesterday, who said he would be coming this morning. But the last gentleman we dealt with yesterday, his right up front, he had about three or four different issues with the doctrine of salvation. And he goes to one of the local churches here. And he believed that there's no way that you could be guaranteed that you're going to have eternal life. He also did not, made a statement about that the word of God was actually the word that he used was the word of man. And there had been so many changes and stuff to it. And when we talk about Bible versions, that is true. There have been a lot of changes to it, but not to the King James Bible. And then one of the other issues that he raised is he believed that he was too great a sinner to be saved. And, of course, we dealt with him, and where it really come in handy is I got some of the things that he said. Since I knew he was a member of a Baptist church, kind of blew me away and took me aback. And I think probably Brother Daniel picked up on it. And after I had talked with him for a while, Brother Daniel asked if it would be okay for him to say some things. And I told him, sure, go ahead. But generally when you're trying to witness to somebody, unless they're having a difficult time, you need to be a silent partner. But when Brother Daniel asked if he could say some things, it was a very timely thing because things had kind of turned in a direction I felt like that was counterproductive to what we were trying to do. And he intervened at a very timely time. And a lot of the things that we hear out there when we're out witnessing to folks are sometimes difficult to deal with. You're really not ready for them. You can do all the prep, and that's what this particular series is all about. You can do all the prep, and you're still going to run into some difficulty. Amen. when you're knocking doors, because you're going to be fighting the devil, and you're going to be fighting the individual that you're trying to witness to, too. And it's a very serious thing. That was a moment of silence. But it was a blessing to see everybody out yesterday. We would like to have more. We really would like to have more. And you don't know the blessing, the potential blessing that you could receive to see somebody make a profession of faith. It is a blessing, folks, and that is the reward that's involved in it. But there's a battle also, and that's what we're trying to prepare you for here. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38 says this, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Now the Lord Jesus Christ has already sent those laborers forth into the harvest, hasn't he? And we've been commanded to go. It's not an option, it is a commandment. We call it the Great Commission, but if you look at it, it's a commandment. We're told to go forth. One of the issues that we have had in the United States of America is we have not continued to take the gospel forth to our own people. That's a very serious issue. And because of that, our society is as reprobate as it's ever been. Because we're not witnessing, we're not going out winning other folks to Christ, and because we're not doing that, we don't have the churches, the strong local churches, that can support sending missionaries to the foreign field like we once had. And that's one of the prices that we're paying. Folks, the most important field that we have is America. That's our most important field. That is our people. And that was the commandment from the Lord Jesus Christ, was to do Jerusalem first, to do your own Jerusalem, to take care of that. Why? So that we can build churches, and once we build those churches, then we have the resources and everything to send missionaries out to the foreign fields and win others to Christ. That's the way the gospel is supposed to be spread. We must be out knocking doors and witnessing whenever we get the opportunity. John chapter 4, John 4. Very familiar passage of scripture here also. John 4:35 says this, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth and receiveth wages and gathereth fruit into life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." So the fields are white to harvest already. It's a huge harvest that is available out there if we will just take advantage of it and do what the Lord has commanded that we do. And I want to say something about folks that have been called to preach or say that they've been called to preach this morning. If those who state that they have been called to preach will not go out into our communities and knock doors for soul winning or practice some form of individual soul winning outside the walls of our churches, then they should not be allowed into the pulpits of our churches. If they've been called a pastor, they've been called to preach, they ought to have a burden for lost souls. And they ought to be practicing that in their personal lives. That's what I'm saying. If a man who states that he's been called to preach will not participate in individual soul winning, his priorities are not right with God.
Amen.
Not right. For most of our Bible-believing churches, the pulpit is the safest place to be a preacher.
Yes, sir.
I want you to think about that.
Yeah.
It is on the streets of America where that safe haven is taken away. And right over here, Brother Darnell over there, yes, sir, yes, sir. Because he's experienced it. He's been out street preaching. And by the way, that's the same thing you're going to run into when you're out door knocking too. Even though I believe that you'll probably take a stronger public rebuke from the lost folks out street preaching than what you do going door to door. But you're going to run into some resistance. And folks, what we've been experiencing the last 2 weeks that we have been out has been amazing to me. And Brother Daniel's even made some comments about how receptive folks are. But you get out there and start street preaching, there's going to be some serious challenges to you. Show me a good street preacher and a good door-to-door soul winner, and I will show you a man that God will use in the pulpit. Show me a dedicated jailhouse and prison preacher, and I will show you a man that God will use in the pulpit. Our pastor, Brother Edward, used to preach in the jails and stuff. Brother Darnell, have you been in the, you used to do the jail ministry also, didn't you? And there's a lot of churches that run jail ministries and run prison ministries. In fact, there's a group of people out there that are dedicated to running prison ministries. Gulf Coast is one of them, and Rock of Ages is another one. Big groups that deal with that.
The Gideons still do it too.
Who does?
The Gideons.
The Gideons, okay. Anyone who has ever preached in a jailhouse, a prison, or on the streets will tell you that there is a world of difference between the venues, those venues, and the pulpit in a Bible-believing church.
Amen.
We stand here week after week, and though we may experience and look out when you're teaching or when you're preaching, and you may see some very strong emotions, it's nothing like what you experience out on the streets. You want to get toughened up and hardened up? Go out and preach on the streets for a while. And have them spit at you, have them cuss you. Have them yell at you.
Amen.
Have them try to physically assault you. The pulpit in the average independent Baptist church is a safe place to be.
Yeah.
You're not going to come under those type of attacks.
Right.
You want to get hardened? Go outside. And we're commanded to do it, folks. And if you've been called to preach, you need to be out doing it. Also, when we go out door-to-door witnessing and talking to people, we're to be both physically and spiritually prepared. Now, what do I mean by that? When I say that we are to be physically prepared, I mean that we must be dressed appropriately and clean. That means that our dress is to conform to biblical standards. That means that men and women are to have their nakedness covered. That means that shorts are not allowed. That means that low-cut blouses on ladies and tank tops on men are not allowed. Formal attire is not required. Most of us that show up around here show up in a pair of jeans and a dress shirt of some sort when we go out knocking doors. And a lot of people, by the way, are intimidated by guys in suits.
Yes, sir.
So, most of the time in today's society, you're better off to be dressed casual when you go out to witness. You need to be clean. We are to be clean in our bodies and clean in our clothing. There is nothing like the offense that is generated by the body odor of someone who will not take showers or baths or will not wash their clothes. Bad breath is also an offense. And it can be taken care of simply with a toothbrush and some toothpaste. These are some practical things, folks. I have seen folks go out knocking doors that would smell like they haven't had a shower in a couple of weeks. And their clothes are unclean. You don't want to go out like that because, number one, you're representing the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Number two, you're representing Camden Baptist Church. And we need to remember that. There should be nothing about our hygiene, clothing, or body odor that would be an offense to anyone. And here's something I want to emphasize here, too. Our level of cleanliness must, at the very least, meet the cleanliness standards for the societies that we live in. And the reason I make that statement, you've heard Brother Edward, and I believe probably Brother Gary, testify to the fact that you could tell that a lot of people, when they went overseas, had not taken a shower in quite a while. That's something that's typical in their society. But we don't want to do anything that is not typical for our society and go out sinking. Because if you do that, people are going to do this. They're going to be literally, physically pushed off from you trying to get away from it. So you need to be clean, physically. The other thing is that you've got to be spiritually prepared. And that is the most important one, but I have to mention the others also. If you're not prayed up, if you're not confessed up, if you have not studied what you need to know to be able to witness to somebody, you're not spiritually prepared. An effective soul winner must be filled with and yielded to the Holy Ghost of God. That means that we are to confess our sins to God and ask Him to go before us into the harvest. The Holy Ghost, folks, is our partner when we go out. And if we grieve the Holy Ghost because of unholy living, then we're going to grieve the greatest asset we have for soul winning. And that is Him. If we go out in the power of our flesh, nothing is going to be accomplished. A soul winner should also be thoroughly familiar with works-based cult and denominational counterfeits that Satan produces as alternatives to biblical salvation.
Amen.
And what are most of those based on, folks, when we start looking at them at their root? They're based on works, aren't they, of some fashion or another. Regardless of what denomination it is, it boils down to works. There's something that I can do to earn my salvation, or there's something I can do to keep my salvation. They're both one and the same thing. A soul winner should know how to lead someone through the Scriptures to a knowledge of salvation. A soul winner should rely on the Holy Ghost to do the drawing, convicting, and conversion of the lost sinner. Don't get in there and try to use psychological methods to manipulate somebody into making a profession. If you do that, you're trying to do the work of the Holy Ghost. You're trying to force the issue. I've already seen Daniel a couple of different times back off from people because he knew that they were not ready. And how do you know that's not ready? You can sense some things spiritually. And if we're up close to the Lord like we ought to be, then we'll see a lot more things. A lot more things we'll be able to discern. Now, I uploaded this week. I finally got that document completely finished on the objections to salvation answered. And we ran into three different ones of those when witnessing to one individual yesterday of how you can answer those. If an individual tells you that there's no way you can know for sure that you're going to heaven, what should be one of the first scriptures that comes to mind? That's it, right there. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. We had ran into objection yesterday where an individual said that that the word of God was the words of man. Now, it helps to have some statistical data on your Bible also. If you take a look at the events that surround the resurrection and the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got some 50 prophecies that deal with that. And they were all fulfilled in that short amount of time. Do you know what the statistical probability of that happening was by accident? Listen at this. 1 in 1 followed by 180 zeros. That's what that means, folks, is it's impossible.
Amen.
Which proves that what was written was the Word of God. That's one of the things that proves it is. And, of course, one of the practical sides of it is the Word of God changes folks. It changes them eternally. If you're presenting the gospel to someone and they raise a question that is a distraction to what you're actually trying to do, ask them if it would be all right if you answered that question at the end of your presentation. You don't want a distraction there, but when you tell them that, you make sure that that is your heart's intent to address that question for them at the end. Don't walk off after you promise them that you will do that, but address that particular question. if you know how. If you don't know how, tell them that you're not sure, and you will get back to them. And be serious about getting back to them, folks. last question that you should ask an individual is, if have I answered all of your questions today? Is there anything else that you would like to know? That's very helpful because it may open some doors. Folks, what we need to do is get them to talking. And once we get them to talking, then we know what their ideas are about salvation. And we ought to be prepared to be able to deal with all of the objections that are raised when you're out there. What about when somebody says they're too great of a sinner? Like yesterday. We had that yesterday. What do you say about that? The first two things that come to my mind is David and Paul. And then Hebrews chapter 7, 25 says he saves them to the uttermost. Also, it also says that when somebody comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, that God in no wise will cast them out. And there's illustration after illustration that you could give of that. And I believe that particular young man that said that, he was sincere, wasn't he, Brother Daniel? That young man was did not make a profession. He said when we first started out that he was saved, but when we left, he was weeping, folks. And we're going to get an opportunity to go back and talk with him. Because I asked him if it would be okay if Brother Daniel and I come back and come in and sit down and talk with him, and he said, sure. You need to pray that we will get an open door there, an effectual door, if you will. And I've talked about this particular thing here also. We are not to use door-to-door soul winning to straighten people out doctrinally. Now, if they present a direct thing like happened with me yesterday, about a particular doctrine, and that's the issue in it, you need to deal with that. But you don't deal with it in a confrontational sense. I'm not out there to make war on lost sinners. I'm there to present the love of God to them and present the gospel to them is what I'm there for. Doctrinal correction is the ministry of the local church to be conducted within its own walls upon its own members. That's what it's for. We ran into a lady, not this yesterday, but a few weeks ago, that did not believe in a literal hell. She did not believe anybody was going to hell. And how do you answer that? She goes to a local church. So, they're not reading the same Bible I am, folks. There is a place, folks, for apologetics, but it's not on somebody's doorstep. We are not to argue doctrine with a potentially lost person. Many, if not most, religious people are lost, folks. They're lost. We learn what they have been taught to believe, not for the purpose of winning an argument with them or to correct them, but to know how to deal with them about their salvation. That takes a knowledge of the scripture, and that takes spiritual discernment. Brother Daniel yesterday was talking with Brother Edward, and he talked about a man that had some amazing spiritual discernment as to what a job that somebody actually worked, didn't you, Brother Daniel? And how he was able to pick on that up on that and use that to the advantage to open up the conversation. And that's what you need to do. You need to try to find some common ground with them that you can use to generate a conversation with them. Say something nice about their house or some other thing that you see around there just so you can open up the door. Always remember who you're representing, folks. You show the love of God, and that's what many times what you're going to get in return. You're going to get resistance, but if you'll yield to the leading of the Spirit of God, He'll get the fruits, and we'll see a lot more fruit, too, is what we'll see. And the other thing we need to study is the cults. We need to be aware of the cults. Some of the fastest-growing groups in the world are cults, folks. Take the Jehovah's Witnesses, for instance. They're a fast-growing cult. Now, how do you deal with the Jehovah's Witnesses? If you look, and I'm going to talk about it. I've got a study prepared on the Jehovah's Witnesses. But if you look at that document that I've got prepared called the Objections to Salvation Answer, there's a thing that deals with how to deal with the Jehovah's Witnesses in there. And one way you deal with them is that passage of Scripture that says, I am the first and the last, I am the Alpha and Omega. And there's a detailed way in there in which you can deal with them. The Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, folks, are some of the most well indoctrinated people on the face of this earth in what they believe. What they believe is wrong. And if you take a look at the Mormons, they are squeaky clean, a lot of them, on the outside. They do a lot of things. But folks, what they are teaching is Gnostic heresy. That's what it is. And if they believe what they claim to believe, that's not salvation, folks. And there is a special way to deal with those folks. And I just make brief mention of them in that document, Objection to Salvation Answer. But there's a way that you can take the Book of Mormon. I realize it's a filthy book, folks. There's a way you can take the Book of Mormon and take it and have a greater potential of leading a Mormon to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Sister Mary. There is a spirit associated with it. I have a Book of Mormon. And I have it for a reason. I also got a big, thick book. Probably about that thick. It's probably close to 1,000 pages on standard typewritten that was published by... Any of y'all know who the Tanners are? They've been here to Camden Baptist many years ago, they did. Tanners. Sandra Tanner, and I forget what his name is, but they wrote a big book, and when they were here, they had a copy of it, and I got it. And it deals with the doctrines of the Mormons. And folks, you're talking about confusion. And they are difficult to lead to the Lord. And if you're going to be dealing with them, you need to study them and how best to try to lead them to Christ. And the document that I've got that tells you to go into their Book of Mormon was probably published, I believe, in 1980. Or the late 70s or early 1980 of how to deal with them. But they are difficult to deal with. Sister Dorothy. Yeah. And they normally come in twos just like the Jehovah's Witnesses do. You know something about the Jehovah's Witnesses? They want you to take their material, but most of them's not going to take yours.
Amen.
And when you meet them, folks, you should refuse to take their material unless they take yours. Brother Jeff.
You can put up a no trespassing sign on your property, and they've been trained not to pass that. No witnesses, they won't come back.
Well, I had run into a couple of them. I don't know, it's probably been 4 or 5 months ago now. They pulled into my backyard, and I knew what they were as soon as they pulled in. And they offered me some, and I said, no, ma'am, I don't want any of your material. And then they just turned around and pulled out of my driveway. And that was my first run-in with them here. Now, I've had them knock on my door when I lived in other places. They are very aggressive folks. Yeah. Yeah.
They will carry a King James Bible.
Yep. Yeah. Brother Sean, did you have something else? Oh, Brother Jeff.
They used to go out on Sunday morning so they get people that don't go to local churches.
Right.
That's one of their main objectives.
Yeah, now, I don't know if this statistic is still true or not, but I believe it's probably been about 20 years ago now. There was a statistic out that said that 40% of the converts to the Mormon church came out of Baptist churches, folks. What's wrong with that picture? Baptist churches are not teaching doctrine like they ought to. That's shocking, isn't it, that they could go in and proselyte a Baptist into the Mormon church. Every time I pass that place out there, I refer to it as the synagogue of Satan. And I think that every time I come past it. And I don't hate Mormons, folks. They're some of the best people that I know of morally. Good people. Good, clean living people, most of them. But they're going to hell if they believe what the Mormon Church teaches. So I'm under the obligation to be prepared to deal with their particular issues. Okay, back to this issue of arguing doctrine with somebody. Just because somebody believes that you can lose your salvation, that does not mean they're lost. Amen. Just because somebody believes that you've got to be baptized to be saved, that does not mean that they're lost. Church of Christ teaches that you must be baptized. And there's a number of others that do that. I believe that there's some folks in that church that are saved. And by the way, just because you're a Baptist, that doesn't mean you're saved. Because we got Baptist churches, and we ran into an incident of it really yesterday. When a man can be a member of a Baptist church and believe that you can't know for sure that you can be saved, or believe that he's too great of a sinner to be saved, and so forth, there's a problem in that Baptist church, folks. And that's one reason why we hang on to doctrine so strongly around here. If y'all have noticed, I'm very, very strong on doctrine. And that gets you into trouble. And what it does, if you're very, very strong on doctrine, if you've got a dominant type personality, you're going to want to argue with somebody when you're out knocking doors. And you got to guard against that. Because there are some things that I hear people say, folks, when I'm out knocking these doors, that there's a spirit that wells up in me when I hear it that I want to go on the attack. And that's just not the way to do it, folks. You can't do that. Tragically, most of the members in our Baptist churches are lost because they have never been given a scriptural presentation of the gospel. Remember what I told you about on the Southern Baptists? They'd done a survey of 800 churches, and there were over half of them that were rebaptized because they recommitted their lives. Not salvation, but recommitted their lives. Folks, that's a huge problem. Baptism is only for saved folks. That's who it's for. All right, some other things that you need to know when you go out to knock doors and to witness. Before you depart for door-to-door soul winning or for address-specific soul winning visits, make sure that you have a supply of gospel tracts, a King James Bible, a small pocket notepad, and an ink pen. If someone makes a profession of faith or requests a return visit, make sure that you write their name, address, and any telephone numbers that they're willing to give you down. Invite them to church. Offer to go back and pick them up if they don't have a ride. Offer to get them a ride. Now, from that point on, we're going to move in to the actual nuts and bolts. This document that I got in front of me is it's a long document, folks. I'm not going to try to cover all of it that's in it because it's 44 pages, but probably better than half of it has actually got the scriptures that I call out are incorporated into the document. It's there to help you is what it's there for. But I am going to hit the high points on it. There's some things that we need to get motivated to soul win. We need to get motivated to build the church. And how do we build the church? Soul winning. Put new blood in it. If you don't reproduce physically, you die out, don't you? If you don't reproduce spiritually, you die out. And that's what we're called to do. And if we love the Lord Jesus Christ like we ought to do, we ought to get involved in it. There are some things that are hard to get past. It is, when you first start handing out tracts, it is a fearful thing. Because you're worried about what kind of response you're going to get. We've all heard the horror stories. But we're still called to do it. One of the worst attacks that I ever had was right over here in Sugar Mill Plantation. I mean, the guy that was coming out that door, he was an atheist. And he was also a bulldog. that was his the attitude that he presented. He hated God, and he wanted to make sure that you knew it. And you run into that sort of thing, but what does the Bible say? To praise the Lord that you would be allowed to suffer any sort of persecution for him. Go out praising God. Thank God that you were given the opportunity to go out and do that. Now, the other issue you occasionally have to deal with is dogs, ain't it? And I'm going to mention a name that my wife knows, Brother Tony Thomas. Brother Tony Thomas and I used to go out here in Camden County knocking doors, and some of y'all probably know him. And he had this natural tendency to draw dogs to him. I don't know what it was. If there was a dog on the property, it was going to find Brother Tony. Is it? Yeah. Yeah. Folks, I'm scared of dogs. I'll tell you that. I had two of them to come after me when I went to my mailbox. What has it been, 2 months ago or so? And they literally chased me all the way to my front door, and one of them was a pit bull. I knew those dogs were going to jump on me. And I'll tell you this, I went in my house and got my pistol.
Amen.
I got my pistol. I fired off a round, and it jammed because it was fully my intent to kill those dogs. I'm afraid of them, folks, especially pit bulls. You don't know what they're going to do. And I realize, folks, there's people that have pit bulls that they're the best dogs that they've ever run into. But that's not the case when they get upset. Sister Mary. You got stung by a wasp? Oh, yeah. And folks, we seen wasps yesterday, didn't we, Brother Daniel? Flying around everywhere. And that's another thing that you sometimes have to contend with. But you got to be very careful about dogs, too. Because dogs are, they're a different sort of creature when it comes to their masters. They'll come after you. And I don't know how many dogs did we hear yesterday, brother, behind doors and stuff. And we didn't have anybody that had dogs that actually come to the door, I don't think. Did we? We didn't. Well, that's one of the things that you got to contend with. But I want to encourage you to get out. Go out. Knock on those doors. Hand out those tracts. We got all kind of tracts here. And Brother Daniel has also got a tract now on the... What's the title of it? It's on the one on the tip track.
It's Thank You Sincerely.
And he's got a supply of those so that when you go out into a restaurant somewhere, hand out one of those tracks. But we'll warn you once again, don't put one of those tracks on the table if you're not going to leave a tip.
Amen.
Don't do that, folks. I've seen Brother Sammy Allen get torqued because somebody done that. He'll call you out on it. You need to leave a tip if you're going to put one of those on. And I got a track called The Best Tip. It's also a good track. But put money in it before you do that. And Brother Daniel said he's visited a number of sites that advocated that you not leave a tip at all, but just leave a track. Folks, that's wrong.
Amen.
What kind of testimony is that? It's terrible, isn't it? next week, it's... 10 minutes of now. We're going to shut down a little bit early this morning. But next week I'm going to get into the means of the gospel presentation, and I'm going to talk about the ministry of the Holy Ghost. But in closing, I want to read this list of objections to you. Afraid I can't hold out, or afraid I cannot live it. Always have been a Christian. Amusements and worldly lusts. These are things that keep people from coming to salvation. Some of the reasons that they use. And they're addressed in this document. Another chance after death. A backslider. There's a lot of people that are claimed to be backslidden that have never slid up to start with. Backslider who will not repent. Believe everybody will be saved. Believe I am good enough. The Bible is a book written by men. cannot believe. There's folks out there tell you they cannot believe. That's not scriptural. Cannot forgive others. Folks, that's a thing a lot of Christians are guilty of. And that's not the spirit of forgiveness, is it? And the spirit of forgiveness is the Holy Ghost. Cannot give up my friends. Cannot pay the price. And they can't. Cannot understand the Bible. And they can't. And there's some reasons for that. It's spiritually discerned. Catholicism. A word about Catholicism, folks. The spiel that's in there on them addresses it from a works-based point of view. But do you know that the Roman Catholic Catechism contains, I think, the last edition I looked at, 973 pages where they line out stuff. So you're dealing with somebody that has got their doctrinal trail, even though it's a false doctrine, well documented. Church, do not have to attend. Committed the unpardonable sin. I don't believe you can commit that now. Not in the sense that most people try to say it. The only unpardonable sin that I know of is rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Death ends everything. That's wishful thinking. Feeling, do not feel ready. God's existence. God will not condemn anyone, or God is too good to damn anyone. God will not send anyone to hell. How do we know there is a heaven? How do we know there is a hell? I am a church member. I am too great of a sinner. I am doing the best I can. I pray every day. Jehovah Witnesses. Mormonism. Must get better first. I tried that one, folks. Not now, some other time. Not willing to give up my sin. And that's the real crux right there. Fear of persecution. Self-righteousness. Sincerity is all that matters. The Muslims sincerely believe what they believe, but they're going to hell, folks. Spiritism, that's one you really ought to look at. New Age stuff, Harry Potter, witchcraft, all these stories about ghosts and stuff, and you name it. It's out there. Here's a good one. Too many hypocrites in the church. How many times have you heard that one? And how many of us have been hypocrites? Me. I have been. That's why we've got to be careful with our testimony. Too much to give up. Trying to go to heaven. Aren't we all? When God wants me to be saved, He will let me know. That's why you're at the door to present them the plan of salvation. He's trying to let them know that He's ready. Where I spend eternity is up to God. And then the last one is works will take me to heaven. And at some point in time, I'll deal with those a little bit more. And by the way, we ran across a really good thing on witnessing to children. And we're going to try to incorporate some of that in here too. Yes, sir.
That second little last one you call out, God won't be against me if you let me know.
Yeah. Yep. That's right. Brother Daniel.
Saturday again at 1 o'clock is the last time before Easter.
Saturday at 1 o'clock.
Sorry,
at noon, excuse me. We'll be there. Okay, thank y'all for listening this morning.